lovely listeners. Welcome back to the Your Biggest Fangirl podcast. I am one of your hosts, Kristen Chavez.
And I am your other host, Victoria Male.
And we are really excited to be speaking with Erin Loeffler today.
I think this is where the part where I come in, right? Hi.
Erin Loeffler is a character designer, concept artist, illustrator, and licensed Lucasfilms artist based in New York City. We became fast fangirls over her work on Instagram, which ranges from Star Wars to Disney to Marvel and Doctor Who, but there's also everything else in between. Her work has been featured on Nerdist.com and also on the BBC America and Star Wars' social media channels. And if that isn't really impressive enough, Erin is the creator and champion behind Force Against Cyberbullying, which combats online harassment and abuse, which was in response to not just witnessing, but also unfortunately experiencing cyberbullying in the Star Wars fandom. The campaign has even received support from Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill, and it's also gaining a lot of traction, I think, for us as well. And it's great, great reminders for everyone to take on as harassment is unfortunately prevalent in online fandoms.
What do you fangirl over, Erin?
Oh, I am the absolute worst of fangirling. I am, like, the biggest fangirl. I am a huge Marvel fangirl. I think that's, like, very apparent and obvious on my page. I really love Guardians of the Galaxy. That's my all-time favorite comic and movie. I'm the biggest Star-Lord fan out there, I think. I really love Everett Ross, too, from Black Panther and from Civil War. No one ever picks up on that character, but I'm like, he's a great character, and I don't understand why he doesn't get more recognition than he does. I'm hoping they'll sneak him into Captain Marvel a little bit, maybe, but they might not. I hope they do. I love Star Wars. It's my thing since I've been a kid. I really love Han Solo and Rey. They're two of my favorites because they have similar personalities in ways, so I really love them. Pretty much anything Disney. I'm a big Disney girl. I kind of grew up with a big heritage full of Disney. I had a adopted family, basically, who worked for Disney for the longest time. One of them was actually known as the Keeper of the Mouse. He created the first Mickey Mouse watch, and he created the Buffalo Bills logo. And it was really cool to get to meet him and know him as a little kid. And I even drew a Mickey Mouse at one point, which was like, thinking back on it now, I'm like, how ironic is that? I met the man who made the Mickey Mouse watch, and I'm like, oh, here's Mickey Mouse.
Oh, wow.
I kind of have, like, always been that rich Disney blood in my veins.
I'd say so.
And I think what you were saying about kind of learning how to, you know, like draw Mickey Mouse and everything, I think that's a great great sort of segue into our question about what your process is when you're designing a character and being able to incorporate your own style into realizing another person's vision.
People are going to think I'm nuts when I tell them. I'm like, it's really boring, but all I do is just look up pictures if it's for an already made character. Now, if it's not for one, if it's for, like, if I'm doing a job where I have to design someone's character for them, I honestly kind of go from a weird angle. I first go from, once I know, like, the time period and where it's set and everything, I'd like to pick out little pieces of things that, oh, this costume, the design on the shoulder pads goes very well with this type of personality. This hairstyle will go good with this personality. So I try to pick up on different colors and things from different time periods that were used commonly. And I kind of try to incorporate in that tune characters. That way it kind of throws the people's minds into, oh, this character's personality is like this, and they're dressed to show it. If I have an idea in mind, if I know, like, oh, this is how this character is, then I just kind of formulate it in my head, and I'm like, okay, I need to build it off of that.
No, that's amazing, because I'm so in awe of people who can visually translate that, like, translate a personality into images. So thank you so much for sharing your process. We also wanted to ask you, what was your process in becoming a licensed artist with Lucasfilm? Because that's a very casual thing.
So that was actually kind of funny, because I had put in my resume and my portfolio into a couple of places, one of them being Marvel. Mm-hmm. And I went to do a portfolio review, and things didn't exactly go the way I wanted them to. And I was kind of like all bummed out. I think it's like a day or two before my birth date last year, I got an email from Lucasfilms, and they're like, the licensor was like, so we were looking at your stuff and we really like it and we like the style and we'd like to bring you on. And I was just kind of like, is this serious? Is this actually happening? Because it's like, I've grown up watching it and I've been a huge fangirl of Star Wars ever since I could crawl at least at I knew at least since I was like three, I've been watching Star Wars. So I'm like, after I started getting the stuff and I had to sign all the things, it kind of started settling in for me. Even I was like, I was just fully excited to be doing work for them. So I'm like, oh yeah, this is great. I could put this on my resume. It's going to look great. And then all of a sudden I get the email of, do you want to put your work on the red carpet? And I'm like, who wouldn't? That's a big deal. I'm like, who wouldn't? You have so many different stars, especially like, because I am a big fan of Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Mark Hamill. I'm like, if one of them is standing in front of my art, I swear I'm going to freak out, because like, that's a big thing. So like, even to get that opportunity, I was just kind of like, whoa, okay.
Congratulations too. Like that, like, I can't imagine how it would have felt like just getting that call.
Yeah, it was totally weird. And for me, it wasn't real until I like actually had to start signing the stuff that like the NDAs and everything. I was like, this isn't real. And then I got the stuff and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is real.
That's crazy. So how have you been able to like think about like that shift in being a Star Wars fan and then creating that licensed art? Like, do you kind of see much of a difference between creating art as a fangirl versus doing it as a licensed artist?
For me, there's not really any difference because I enjoy it so much. It kind of just like, for me, if I can do what I love for work, it all just translates into being a fangirl, because it's like, oh, hey, I've grown up loving this. This is what I enjoy doing. So it's like, I'm like, I'm getting paid to be a fangirl, basically, because I took the same seriousness with my fan art that I do with my regular work. So it's just kind of like the same for me. It kind of feels like it is cool to just say attached to it, like licensed piece. Like, that's cool. But like, for me, it's kind of the same. It kind of drives my friends nuts, though, when I'm like, oh, this is my licensed work. And they're like, why do you have to specify that? I'm like, because if I don't, you're not going to understand what I'm talking about.
Also, I think, like, legally, right? You have to...
Yeah, you kind of have to specify that, because if you don't, people are just kind of like, oh, is this fan art? And I'm like, oh, no, that's actually licensed. I kind of have to, because that is owned by Lucasfilms officially. I can't, you know, take complete credit for it now.
Right. But what an amazing story of turning your passion into your profession and just flourishing. You should be so proud of yourself. That's awesome.
I honestly still can't believe it, because like I did freelance work before that, and I was totally okay with that. But to be able to work for something that I know and love, and just like to get to do these my takes on these characters that I love, it's just kind of like, this is so cool.
So we also wanted to ask you about the amazing campaign and initiative you've started called the Force Against Cyberbullying. So can you tell us how Force Against Cyberbullying came about and its purpose in the Star Wars fandom?
Force Against Cyberbullying is totally my baby. I never imagined myself having to do something like this, but right about the same time that Kelly Marie Tran deleted all of her stuff off social media, I put up some licensed work and some fan art that I did for Star Wars. Right about the time that Solo came out. And it just kind of became the target of this ridiculous throng of harassment and hate. I was getting called things that were like totally ridiculous and obscene. One person compared me to Hitler. I'm like, oh my goodness, where do you people come up with this? And then I had a few people telling me to go kill myself over this. And I'm like, I dealt with bullying as a kid, so like I knew how to deal with that. But cyberbullying is kind of like this whole new thing that, because the internet's so popular now, it's so prevalent, it's kind of now something that can't be avoided. And I was like, I took like 3 days off of social media because I couldn't look at anything. I was just so depressed with it. I'm like, I can't handle this right now. And during those 3 days, I remember sitting thinking to myself, I'm like, but I'm given such a big following and everything. That's a gift that not many people have these days on social media. The average is like, I think 750 to 1,000 followers per Instagram page. So when you have over 40,000 followers, that's a big gift to have. And if you don't do something with it, I feel like that's part of the problem. So that kind of spurred me on into making, I said, okay, I need to go and do something with this. So I said, I'm going to go and make a campaign and hopefully it catches on. If it doesn't, that's okay. But at least I'm giving it a shot, because it's better than doing nothing. So that's how it ended up coming to be. And it died down for a couple months. Like, I still would post about it and everything, but it died down and nobody would say anything. And then all of a sudden, I posted something the one day, and Mark Hamill liked it and commented on it. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, Luke Skywalker is backing my campaign. What is that? That's one of my highest liked posts on Twitter. And I still don't know how that happened, but it's so cool that it actually did happen. And then it died down again for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, Evangeline Lilly, she put my work up on her Instagram page, and I was so excited. And then I got this new incoming throng of hate and harassment, actually worse than the first time. And I was kind of shocked because I'm like, this is just somebody posting my stuff. This isn't anything like just me posting my art. So it was kind of, it took me back a little bit. So it's like, you know what? I'm going to bring out my campaign again a little more and see what people think about that. And it's had a pretty positive response so far. There's still people who are absolutely and utterly ridiculous with it, but it's nice to see so many people who either have been there already or who are currently dealing with it, being able to get support now from these people that are supporting the campaign or saying, hey, we're here to help you. We're here to help you work out whatever you need to. You can talk. And honestly, that makes me feel so good because I remember getting messages when I first started telling people, like, this is what's going on. People were telling me, like, I'm going through this. I don't know what to do about it. I feel so alone. I had somebody tell me, like, I just don't feel like my life is worth living anymore. And it just made me so sad because I'm like, I always try to look for the positive in everything and everybody. So it's just like to see that dark side of people and humanity just kind of like blows my mind and makes me very sad. So to be able to help people work that out and work through it, just it's a surreal feeling to have.
And I feel like Star Wars is one of those fandoms that, like, you hear a lot about that online harassment. You mentioned Kelly Marie.
Yeah, definitely. I get it sometimes with the Marvel stuff too, but not as much because Star Wars and Marvel, they're pretty big, but Star Wars seems to have more of a cult following with it. So it spans a lot of different things. And I think that's the problem because nobody takes into consideration that this person can be a fan the way that they want to. They don't have to conform the way that you're a fan. So I think that's mainly like the big problem with it. If we could just all learn in the Star Wars fandom, hey, we can all like something different. Everybody has something different that they like in this fandom. It's perfectly fine that way. But I don't think too many people take that into consideration before they start slamming on their keyboard.
For sure. And I think thank you so much for sharing your story and also the stories that have been told to you since the campaign has been launched. And it literally knocks the wind out of me. It makes me so sad because I know that Star Wars and these fandoms are meant to bring joy. It's for people to enjoy what they love. So it is, to me, so heartbreaking and devastating that it then becomes this really toxic, dark thing. And there isn't, I don't know what the right word is, flexibility or openness if someone doesn't love something exactly the same way as you. I think about in one of our previous episodes when we interviewed E.K. Johnston at San Diego Comic-Con. I think it's episode 22. She said something that stuck with me, and I think it really applies to Star Wars. I think she was talking about inclusivity, where she's like, it's a very big galaxy. And so it's okay, and we have to, you know, work, all of us, because I know I'm not perfect either as a fangirl, but we all have to work to realize it is a big galaxy, and there, and especially with Star Wars, I mean, there is so much to love, and you might only love this part of it and this part of it, and you might only love it maybe in this way or that way, or you might ship Reylo, or you might ship Finn and Poe. I can't think of their ship name.
Storm pilot, obviously.
That you said about like the wind being knocked out of you, because it did. It feels like a punch in the gut when somebody says this stuff to you, because like, exactly that. There's so much going on in the Star Wars fandom. I mean, it spans to kids now. There's books, like little golden books. If they were there when I was a kid, I probably would have been obsessed with them because there's so many of them now, and the illustrations are so great, and the characters are pulled into it. So it's like, it spans from kids to now people in like I've seen like people in their like mid-80s walking around Comic-Cons dressed up as Han and Leia, and I'm like, it spans such a big age thing, and that there's so many characters that people can relate to. It's sad to see people can't accept how other people decide to fan over something. And it's just, it does. It feels like a big knock and a kick to the gut. Like, oh, hey, you don't like it this way? Bam, I'm going to take the wind out of your sails now. And it's unfortunate, really. It shouldn't happen.
Right. And I think also another thing, and I can't imagine how you and also Kelly Marie Tran would feel, because I feel like with you and both of your artistry, you guys seek to bring joy and seek to bring connection and something that people can relate to and fan out over. So I think it must be doubly hurtful because it's not just you being attacked as a fan of something, because I know as a creator as well, when you put out something that you've created, it's like you're burying your soul. So like to also have that be not received positively, or not even positively, but not received respectfully, I can only imagine is really tough.
Even bringing up Kelly Marie Tran, you know, she wrote this brilliant op-ed for the New York Times recently. And I think there's one thing that she had said in this was about saying that she was not the first person to have grown up this way. You know, this is what it is to grow up as a woman, as a person of color in a white dominated world. This is what it is to be a woman in a society that has taught its daughters that we are worthy of love only if we are deemed attractive by its sons. This is the world I grew up in, but not the world I want to leave behind. And I think you kind of really embody that with Force Against Cyberbullying. You know, I think made it a point to not necessarily like walk away from this, and you're like fighting back in a way. So can you tell us maybe what that kind of means to really being able to stay there and fight back, and maybe what we can do in that respect?
You know, the funny thing is it's actually kind of against my nature to fight back against something. I hate confrontation. I hate having to fight anything. But to see kids going through this, and not just kids, but seeing adults and people who are fellow fans going through this, it breaks my heart. So I said, I'm going to have to fight back for once in my life. And it's a strange feeling of fighting back against something. But, you know, once you get kind of your resolve in it, it's like, okay, here I go. It just broke my heart. And when I was reading Kelly Marie Tran's article, I remember I broke down, cried. I don't normally cry at stuff. I cried when I read her article because I'm like, this is exactly what I'm talking about when I go through and talk to people about my Force Against Cyberbullying campaign. Because it's like, it shouldn't matter if you are Asian American, if you are African American, if you are of descent just from an island in the Pacific, if you're American, if you're Australian, it shouldn't matter. If you're a male or a female, it shouldn't. If you do what you do, you put your heart into it, and you show that this is what you love and you care about, and that this is honestly things that you like to do, it shouldn't matter to anyone. So it's like, to read Kelly Marie Tran's words is like exact physical embodiment of what I was looking for with this campaign. I'm like, I hope she gets to see this campaign one day, because this is partially her fault that I started this. Because I felt so bad, like, because I... Honestly, Rose Tico was actually one of my favorite characters in the new movie. I thought she was fantastic. You can tell that she loves what she does. And she's always so humble and kind about it whenever she's been interviewed or anything. I've always picked up on that. Kelly's always been kind and always so humble about when she talks about how she got to where she is. So it's like, when you see somebody kind of taking on somebody like that and trying to drag them through the mud, you got to stand up for them. There's no way that you're not going to. So I always like to encourage everybody, if you see somebody that's getting cyberbullied, try to talk to them, let them know that they're not alone and that the actions of the other person's not okay, because I think it's good to reinforce that in their head, because I didn't have anybody telling me that at first until like I talked to my friends and everything about it. I didn't have anyone telling me. But if you can go and tell somebody that while they're facing it, I think it definitely helps a lot, because once I started having people telling me, it's okay, this is not you, this is not true in any way, it definitely helps you deal with it a lot easier. Not just that, if you see this happening to somebody in comment sections or anything, you can team up with a bunch of other people against this person and tell them to knock their junk off. Because I think the more that they realize that what they're saying is not okay and is not appropriate, they're going to back off. And a lot of the times, if you can, like, the more reporting that you can do, the more people you get on reporting something, it's more likely to get taken down. If we could do that and help each other out that way, if you see somebody going through it, that's definitely going to help probably minimize what we see with cyberbullying now.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing those steps we can take and those methods that we can all participate in to help people not be cyberbullied online. When it comes to being online, it is hard to see the separation as a fan or just a person and a representative of Lucasfilm. Because again, you have this really cool, like, double identity in the Star Wars fandom. So how do you balance your presence online in that respect?
A lot of the times people kind of forget that I'm also a fan in itself before being a professionally licensed worker for Lucasfilms. It's kind of funny because, like, I like to share little snippets of my personal life instead of just like, oh, 24/7, here's my professional work, here's my fan art, this is my stuff. So like, I go to Comic-Cons a lot. I'm a big fangirl of Comic-Cons and a huge nerd. So like, I go to Comic-Cons all the time, and I'm like, So I'll just post like little snippets of things I did at Comic Cons and everything. And so I'll get messages and a lot of people are like, I totally didn't know that you were this into it. And I'm like, I think people tend to forget that because they see so much of one thing. They tend to forget this person's human too. They have their likes, they have their dislikes. So like, and I wouldn't be doing what I do if it wasn't for being a fangirl. So it's kind of like, I like to remind people of that every now and then.
You know, I think it really is important that, you know, we're also celebrating you as a fangirl who kind of achieved like peak fangirl status. And that's just really amazing. So is there a character that you identify most with in the Star Wars universe?
It's definitely Rey. I know a lot of people are like, but why? She's always saying I'm no one. Well, I honestly kind of connect with that because as a kid, I was kind of like an outsider in school. I was the quiet one who kind of stuck to reading books and drawing all over everything and got their work done early. I graduated high school 2 years early. So it was like, I was really focused on that stuff. And I never really viewed myself as anything. And even still now, I kind of have a hard time like even saying like, oh yeah, I'm a licensed Lucasfilm artist, because I don't really view myself too much as anything. But people are like, no, you've made it. I'm like, but that's not how I feel. So I really connect with Rey on that. And she's always kind of like determined in the things that she does. And I find when I get really excited about something or I'm really passionate about it, I'm always kind of very determined about it. So that's kind of like, I really connect with her over that. And I think her sense of humor kind of like mimics my own. It can be a little dry at times, but it gets a lot of people to laugh nonetheless. So
that's amazing. We also wanted to ask you, on a more general level, across all of your fandoms, do you have a favorite character to draw?
Yeah, I love drawing Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde. Those two are kind of like my go-to. I end up finding like if I'm just like drawing meaningless scribbles on scrap paper or something, it'll always end up being one of the two of them, and I never understand why. I honestly fell so in love with them reading the comics and everything, and it just ended up translating onto paper most of the time. So I end up finding them, like, I'll look around my sketchbooks and stuff. I'm like, why do I have so many of them in here? Like, there's so many. Why did I do this?
That's awesome. This has been such a joy to speak with you, not just on your process, but even just the things that you love and including Star Wars fandom and why you fight for it. And I think that's just amazing. And everything that you do is fantastic. And you should be proud of it. I think a lot of people are hard, especially women. It is hard to, you know, we have that imposter syndrome of like, you know, can we really do this? But I think that's why we're all here, to tell you, yes, you can. And you're amazing. So keep at it.
I definitely agree with that. The imposter syndrome is kind of a big thing I've noticed with a lot of girls, especially like a lot of my coworkers. I think it's because we're kind of ingrained since we're kids that this is a male-dominated society and this job, this isn't for you. So it's kind of like hard to break through that. And to have some people now telling me, you can't be doing that, I'm like, but I've been doing it for so long, it's hard to stop.
And you shouldn't stop.
Okay, so now we're going to ask you questions of a different sort. It's time for our fandom Would You Rather game.
Oh, these are always the best. I love playing this game.
Oh, yay. We're so excited.
Okay. So since you love going to conventions, Erin, would you rather have the best cosplay at a convention, but you have to wear it every day of your life? Or would you rather have a damning wardrobe malfunction, but you can return to street clothes after the con?
Oh no, I'd rather have the best costume and then have to wear it every day, because I'm just pretty much in like t-shirts every day that are always fandom related, whether it be Star Wars or Guardians of the Galaxy or Black Panther. I'm always wearing something. Like, I always kind of end up finding someone fandom related with my shirts. So I'm like, if I had the option, I'm pretty sure I'd be walking around in cosplay all the time, because it's so much fun to wear these costumes and get to be able to be like, I enjoy this fandom. I hope you enjoy it too. Otherwise, just you'll view me as a weirdo as I walk by you.
What would your cosplay be?
Oh, that's a hard one. I have so many that I love. But again, it might be a tie between Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde, because my Kitty Pryde suit is fantastic. I will be wearing her again as well. I got invited to guest my first Comic-Con in Chicago, which is so exciting. I've never been a guest at anything, so to be included on this like guest list with all these celebrities like Tom Hiddleston and Chris Evans, I'm like, oh my goodness, like, this is so crazy. So It's going to be cool. I'm going to be wearing her there too. So it's a tie between her and Star-Lord.
It's amazing. So congratulations on being invited to guest your first con. I'm sure it's going to be the first of many.
Thank you.
Would you rather be a hench person for Loki or for Magneto?
Loki. Oh my goodness, Loki.
I know
that probably came out way too quick, but like, I never liked Magneto ever. And I was the biggest Loki fangirl when, you know, Thor came out and the original Avengers movie came out. I was the biggest nerd. I went to the theater dressed up as Loki. I spent a week and a half hand sewing a Loki costume, and I made the horns and everything. Oh my God. I went to the theater dressed up as Loki, and I was cracking up because I'm like, I'm the only one there dressed up like this. I'm like, oh, y'all know, you don't know what you're missing. You gotta show up in a costume when you come to a movie, especially one this big.
I love it.
Let's not forget the cheekbones, though. Those things are fantastic. Everyone was like, why do you like make that so prevalent on your art? I'm like, have you seen the man's cheekbones?
I mean,
like, you can pretty much cut somebody's hand with that thing.
I could sit here and talk about Loki all day, but we do need to continue the game. Would you rather be a Disney hero or a Disney villain?
Hero, all the way. I enjoy the Disney villains. I'm really partial to Scar from Lion King. I mean, like, I hate that he killed Mufasa, but he's got, like, some of the best antics and songs in the Disney universe. But I'm more of always kind of the person who goes for the heroes. I don't know why it's always like that, but I always kind of root for the heroes, even if the villains are super cool.
Very cool.
And, well, your whole campaign is all about being a hero, so I think it fits rather well.
I think there'd be a problem if I'm like, oh, yeah, I like the villains, but I'm trying to campaign to be against villains, so.
Oh, that's great. We have a Doctor Who-themed question now. Would you rather go to a different planet with your favorite doctor, or would you rather go back in time or time travel with your favorite companion?
Different planet. I would rather go to a different planet. I love space. I have been the biggest space nerd. I would always, like, Google whenever NASA would send up a space shuttle. I went and saw a couple space shuttles take off and everything. So I've always been kind of like that big space nerd with the telescope and the books and everything. So to get to see a different planet, I'd probably, like, lose my mind just to go even outside of Earth's atmosphere.
Quick follow-up there. Who's your favorite doctor?
Matt Smith.
Can't go wrong
with bow ties.
Bow ties are cool.
Bow ties
are very cool, and so are fezzes. I have a bow tie and a fez, which Matt Smith did steal from my photo op. I'm like, it's okay, as long as I know where it's at.
Okay, last question. If an evil supervillain were to take over the world, would you rather have to take down Lord Voldemort or Emperor Palpatine?
Okay, so I'm going to be completely honest here. I have never read or seen any Harry Potter movie, so I do not know anything about Voldemort. But I do know a lot about Palpatine because I pretty much hated him as a kid. Mm-hmm. I would look at my dad and be like, dude, we got to take this guy down because I thought he was real. So I'm pretty sure I'd want it to be Palpatine because I'd be ready to kick his butt.
That's an amazing answer.
Oh, this has been lovely. And how can we support the Force Against Cyberbullying campaign and all of your work across social media?
Well, for Force Against Cyberbullying, I always tell everyone, if you have a story, if you know somebody who has a story but's too afraid to tell it, share their story on social media. Hashtag Get Force Against Cyberbullying, because there's a lot of people already following the hashtag. And I can't tell you, it's really neat to see how many posts are already underneath it that aren't mine. So to get to go through and read all these stories and everything and see all the comments of support to these people who are going through it, it's just absolutely amazing. So if you have a story, if you bought the t-shirts that I made for it, share pictures of those because that also gets the word out. Share the shirt, share your story, whatever it is. Just figure out some way to share it on social media and hashtag it Force Against Cyberbullying. And that's the best way, I think, for that to be shared. And then for my work, you could just, you know, search under the hashtag Butternut Gouache. You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr and Instagram and on LinkedIn.
Very cool. And we will have all the links to Erin's work and the Force Against Cyberbullying and how you can support it in our episode show notes.
Thank you again, Erin. This has been such a a wonderful opportunity to be able to talk with you about your work and the campaign. You're doing some amazing things.
Thank you guys for having me on. I can't tell you how excited I was to do this.
Yay. Oh my gosh. I feel like you are such an inspiration. And I honestly, I feel like we could fangirl out for another 3 hours. But I do think.
Probably.
I do think.
I have to admit, I'm like the biggest fan of your guys' podcast. I've listened to every single one of them now. And I'm like,
shut
up. Oh my God.
Shut up.
You're actually a part of it now.
I'm like, what?
I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm actually a part of this now.
Like, but you're fangirls of us. Like, that doesn't compute.
We are peasants.
I love listening to podcasts while I work and listening to music. So, like, I was just, like, binge listening this week, all your guys' stuff. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I love their podcast.
Oh my God, we love you.
Thank you.
Oh my God. And you you have to tell us if you're ever doing a con in Kristen lives in North Carolina and I live in Southern California, and so we'll go out and we'll have a fun time if you're in either of our neighborhoods.
I would love to. I keep telling everyone, I'm like, if you want me to guest a con, find a con near you and tell them to get me because I will come out for it.
Oh honey, I'm on it. Fangirls, thank you so much for listening to this episode, and please subscribe, rate, and review our podcast so we can continue to do more awesome interviews like this one with Erin. You can also support us on social media. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at YBFG Podcast. You can find us on Tumblr at yourbiggestfangirl.tumblr.com. And then please check out our website too, yourbiggestfangirl.com, where we have all of our episodes and all of our blog posts and bonus content. Okay, until next time.
Our theme song is California Lullaby Instrumental by Josh Woodward, used under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.